Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. And I got to apologize up front. I don't know if this thing came back on me or what, but I'm having coughing jags that are really, really very heavy and come out of nowhere. Very itchy throat. I'm not sure whether what I had is coming back or this is something new. Anyway, I wanted to apologize up front if I get into one of those. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Just hanging in here, trying to get over all of my influenza that I had.
Yeah, it's just a mess. But up here, they don't want to give you anything for it. You know, just tough it through. And now they're having some deaths up here because of the way it's, you know, it hits you real hard. I guess within 2-3 days, you're gone. If you don't have defense mechanisms to stop it. I don't know
what,
how many people have died from it already, but quite a few. And
yeah,
most
yeah,
of them have been vaccinated.
It seems to be spreading, too. And I heard Dr. Mark Siegel today on Fox warning that
yes.
It wasn't over, that it was beginning to move further and faster. And it's killing people, he said. And he said the only thing to really help this strain is what he called Tamiflu. And if you'll remember, Stuart, that's what pulled me out of the hole when I got mine. Remember Tamiflu? He said that seems to, of course, Tamiflu, on the box it says it could cause hallucination. I've got a feeling, Stuart, possibly, and I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but I've got a feeling that this was a genetic strain, and Tamiflu probably is something that treats genetic strains. You know, it was experimental for a while, and now they're beginning to really pull it out of mothballs and use it.
Well, I just wonder about this anyway. With all the chemtrails and everything else that people don't believe exists, you know how you know how that is. No, that's just a jet trail. Well, you just can't reason with people that think that way, but anyway. On your latest update, you've got Yahoo News breaking headline: Kurdish forces in northern Syria call for help from Assad's forces as Turkish invasion near Afrin. Syria continues with many Kurds killed by Turkish forces under Erdogan. So what's going on there? Have you got the latest?
Yeah, I do, actually. I've got a couple of or a number of reports that I posted today, actually. I had one report that, of course, Kurdish forces call on Syrian regime to defend northern Syria and come to the aid of the Kurds against Erdogan's Turkish invasion. And then now Germany stepped up, pressure on Turkey over its Syrian invasion, and photographs show that Turkey is using the German-made Leopard 2A4 battle tanks in this invasion, and that's probably some of the German tanks that were stationed there for NATO. And at the same time, Debka Files reporting that Erdogan holds back a little bit on threatened conquest of Afrin, Syria, and is now moving towards Manjab. And at the same time, another report that Turkey's opened up a second front into Syria at Azaza, and that's east of Afrin in an invasion. So Turkey is invading through multiple partitions, you know, into northern Syria. We've got Trump warning him that he could wind up facing U.S. forces, and Erdogan doesn't seem to care. He is bringing his invasion into Syria.
So now he has actually crossed the borders, and he's on the ground, and the war is on, basically, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And not only is he bombing, he's got something like 72 warplanes that are bombing over northern Syria, and he's brought in his tanks and his armor, and his troops. So it's an absolute Turkish invasion, and through two routes at the present time into northern Syria. Of course, there are reports that Assad has taken it seriously, and Putin at present has not made any move one way or the other.
Where's Iran in this? Because isn't Syria basically, or a good share of it, a proxy of Iran anyway? So is Erdogan going to be coming against any of Iranian forces here, or do you think they'll just stay out of the fray?
It's what's interesting, it seems like Turkey and Iran are working together to push the Kurds out of Iraq and Syria. So, you know, there's a little bit of hobnob together with Turkey and Iran.
Mm-hmm. Any noise out of Salman, out of Saudi Arabia? He's kind of been quiet lately as far as I can see.
Well, he's quietly taking his princes to trial and taking their money, their fortunes. And at the same time, you know, they're very involved in a proxy war with Iran in Yemen, which is growing hotter by the moment.
Where's Israel in all of this? Now, I saw a report, or you did, or somebody did, that was listening to a comment that Trump made, but they've kind of quieted all that down, that Trump more or less said that Israel was Israel's, and there weren't going to be too many more negotiations. Is there any more word on that, or was that a misstatement on the part of Trump or the media, or what was that? Because I haven't seen anything about it.
No, that came from multiple sources, not only from Trump himself and Tillerson, but it also came from Nikki Haley at the UN declaring that Trump says now that we have a great proposal for the Palestinians, but respect must be given and Jerusalem is off the table. And then Trump made another comment. The Times of Israel says, Trump says no more aid unless Palestinians talk peace and Jerusalem is off the table. Trump is not proposing a Palestinian state or Jerusalem for Palestine. And at the same time, that's what's interesting, Europe was touting with Abbas for a Palestinian state in Jerusalem, and Trump stood against them and they backed down. So Abbas is in trouble. The only caveat that Abbas has right now is John Kerry, who you know well as I do, is pushed by Soros and Obama.
Oh, yes.
John Kerry is telling Abbas to do not knuckle down under Trump, that Trump won't be there long.
Well, George Soros made a remark about Trump being gone pretty quick. 2020,
I'm sure that's
the
plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he made a remark at Davos, actually. They said that Soros made a comment that Donald Trump is the greatest threat to the world, and he won't be there long, and we'll see.
Yeah. This is an older one, Deb Kefile. Abbas's ultimatum to President Trump, choose between a Palestinian Jerusalem or war, as Abbas is now cornered in the Middle East. Seems like with the comments that Trump made, he chose war.
So, well, sure, he doesn't have much choice. You got to remember, with the U.S. Cutting off the funding, Iran is the only source of military aid or finances for Abbas now. And, of course, that puts Hamas and ISIS and Iran behind Abbas. So all you've got left is a terror group, and then Hezbollah on the other side, and of course Israel. Israel's ready for a war if they need it. It's looks like it is going to come to that.
So do you suppose that this ultimatum that Abbas gave to Trump is why Trump said what he said? Because you don't order Trump around, and it seems like immediately comes out and says, "Well, Jerusalem's off the table. Sorry, Abbas." But we're going to choose war because He said choose between a Palestinian Jerusalem or war. Well, he said Israel belongs to Israel. It's off the table for negotiations. So that was Trump's answer. So now I guess what? War?
Well, I guess Trump is giving Abbas the same choice he's given Kim.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what. I see here that Netanyahu says U.S. Embassy is going to be moved to Jerusalem in 2018 and this year. Didn't we see information on the that they already had broken the ground for the embassy in Jerusalem? Seems to me I read that somewhere.
Well, not only did you read that somewhere, Stuart, I actually had photographs sent to me of the groundbreaking where they were already working on it, and they already have a, as I'd shared earlier, they already have a residence in Jerusalem for the ambassador, the Friedman, the new one, and they already have provided a building in Jerusalem, the Israelis have, for a embassy if they want to convert that building. So the options are already there. It's ready to go. Just we just need the approval and going on to do it.
Well, I would think that they could move in any time, or at least start the building. I mean, you can put up a building pretty fast if you got the manpower to do it. And it almost seems like with Trump's remark that he's giving the green light to the whole thing. And I remember a rabbi saying the temple is also in the works, and that all of this comes together. And what Trump, so we may be seeing even the temple start to go up, or David's tabernacle. But I'm still wondering, do we have to have a war first before we have a peace agreement? Or do we have a peace agreement and Donald Trump or whoever works out almost a miraculous peace agreement?
Well,
because when they say peace and safety, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what's interesting, Stuart, is the fact that I really don't know who's going to implement the peace treaty, because the reason I say that is the Crown Prince Salman of Saudi Arabia is also in behind the scenes working on a peace agreement and working with Abbas trying to. And matter of fact, if you'll remember, we recently reported that Salman had arrested some of the Arab bank officials that pay the Palestinians. So he's working a pressure deal, and whether it's coordinated with Trump and they'll do it together, or Trump will do it, or Salman steps in, as Standeo claims may happen, and does it, we don't know yet, but this stuff is really moving fast.
Well, I did hear that Salman has squeezed $100 billion out of the corruption over there, and he's got a whole bunch more that are in prison. And he's likely to squeeze maybe another $50 to $100 billion out of them. Tremendous corruption all over the world, of course. And it's, I guess, you know, sooner or later, it comes back around. And right now, they're feeling it. They've all been moved out of that grand hotel, I understand, and now they're all in prison. And I would not want to be, I don't think, in a Saudi Arabia prison. I don't know about you.
Probably.
But,
no. It would be very unpleasant, I'm sure.
here's a headline that I need a response, or would like a response anyway. Actually, I want everybody to listen to this very carefully. The National Guard, Homeland Response Force. You ever hear that?
No, that's new, I suppose.
Well, I think it is. It's called the HRF for FEMA Region 7. This is what the article says. Last October, I was talking to an acquaintance of mine who is a high-ranking Missouri National Guard soldier. As we talked over coffee, he starts to talk about how he wouldn't trust anything electronic right now. So I asked, "What do you mean?" He proceeded to talk about a meeting he was called into over the weekend with the Missouri Adjutant General, one that involved all the Missouri National Guard commands in the state. He said they were worried about a North Korean EMP weapons. I got the impression the meeting may have been prompted from higher up, but he didn't specify. And then warned, I better have some food stored away, a way to cook it, and he personally went out and bought 6 months worth of supplies for him and his household. And of course, a lot of people, they just absolutely refuse to do that. Oh, that's too much food. I got no place to put it and all this stuff. Well, you find a place to put it. I know even FEMA, they started with 3 days, and then I think they went to 3 weeks. Excuse me. And, you know, they've said, FEMA itself has said, don't count on us. We may not be able to get to you. But here, this sounds like what we had talked about, that Kim or the CIA or the NSA, whoever, the Illuminati, could run an EMP attack on America and blame it on North Korea. Now, we did hear about the witnesses who saw a missile shot down over there in Hawaii. And a number of witnesses saw it, they said. And you remember they said, well, that was a fake alarm, and some guy pushed the wrong button. Well, in the first place, they now have found out that there's a five-step process. I'm sure it can be worked fairly quickly. But there's a five-step process, and at least two, if not more, people are involved in it. And what do you think? I mean, those witnesses swore up and down they saw this flash in the sky.
Yeah, and you know, we've shared about that. And remember Barry Rockman running the Torah code that tied in a multiple situation going on with that Hawaii alert? And by the way, Yahoo News posted today, it says officials say the Hawaii state employee who mistakenly sent an alert warning of a ballistic missile attack on Hawaii is now refusing to cooperate with the investigation. This has got to be a false flag or inside job, Stuart. You know, why would he not cooperate? If you just made a mistake, you just admit it and go on. But he probably knows better than to talk. He probably knows better than to talk, because these are the days when men die.
Well, yeah, look at the Las Vegas situation, where the sheriff basically at the beginning of that was basically told to shut up when he said that there was more than one shooter. Well, now with all the video and eyewitnesses and stuff like that, we know there were multiple shooters, and yet they're still holding to the one shooter situation. And again, that's the FBI. And the FBI has been compromised for a long, long time. And it's just now coming to the surface. We probably should get into that a little bit later, but they've been compromised for, I would think, ever since Ruby Ridge, or even going back to Oklahoma City, or going back further to Waco, Texas, and the Branch Davidians. There were so many liars in that whole thing. It was just pathetic. And I don't know if you remember, but you worked with the FBI, didn't you, on a few things when you were a police detective?
I did.
Yeah, they're it's an odd group, and I'm sure there are very well-meaning and excellent FBI agents, but like everybody's saying, it's, as you have said, if it's broke at the top, you can't fix it. And now the American people are being shown that it's broke at the top, not only in the FBI, but the DOJ. And I would imagine probably just about every agency that would be involved in a coup against Trump. It's just too bad, really. What else you got?
Well, I was just going to comment on what you just said. It's really sad that, you know, we've been watching, and you know well as I do that the CIA has the playbook of how to cause coups and bring down governments and bring down leaders. And what we've been watching for some time now, Stuart, is a domestic coup to bring down a sitting president that they did not want.
Yes. And every time they try it, it's kind of funny, actually, to watch, because just about everything they try blows up in their face and comes back on them. And that's got to be the hand of the Lord actually doing that. It's just, to me, kind of funny how all of this is going to work together. I am not necessarily a fan that everything is going to be okay in America. I remember what I was told, that America was going to go down. There was no date given, but we were absolutely going to go down. And I remember that David Wilkinson had a prophecy he wrote on Set Thy Trumpet to Thy Mouth, I think it was. He lost an awful lot of support because he identified America's Babylon, number one, and nobody wants to hear that stuff. But in that, if I recall properly, he said there was going to be a renaissance just before the end, kind of like a person when they're near death, they'll have a rally, and they come up almost like they're in perfect health, and then they die. So it almost sounds like that's what's going on here in America because of what's going on. It seems like everybody's thinks they got a bright future. Well, I would say you got a bright maybe couple, 3-4 months, maybe a couple, 3-4 years, but I wouldn't be counting on it. The Bible is very, very clear, folks, that we go down, and we go down fast when we go. And this is an article, if you want to comment on it. The U.S. military is bolstering its presence around the Korean Peninsula. The new amphibious assault ship, extra aircraft carriers, a slew of stealth bombers moved to the Indo-Pacific region. Military.com reports on January 11th a trio of nuclear-capable B-2 Spirit bombers touched down at Anderson Air Force Base. And didn't we get a report that it looked like they were ready to go? They were being loaded up and ready to go once they got there?
Yeah, that's true, Stuart. And at the same time, a couple of days ago, and I don't think I've spoken on this, I think I told you, Yahoo News is reporting that North Korea is reportedly gathering a force of 200,000 commandos and readying for possibly a punch into the South. And so, you know, we've got to watch that because you remember this secret message came out suddenly from Kim the other day, a unification message of the peninsula.
Yes, and now they're flying a unification flag. Is the guy in South Korea that runs it, is he that naive? Does he think he might have a share in leadership?
Sure, you got to remember. That new guy is not so much pro-U.S. He leans more towards China. So there you go.
Well, Kim could do a lightning blitzerig. We could have an EMP attack here. Knocks out all the power. Then he does a blitzerig and takes South Korea, and we're sitting there on our thumbs. Because how could we respond to that? I mean, even if they're at Guam, that's even if they got aircraft carriers. By the time they get word that this is going on, probably it's all over. They are going to bring in the USS Worf's assault ship. It's a type of American air helicopter carrier. It also carries Marine ground forces. They are arriving at the new home port in Japan, and a squadron of F-35 Joint Strike Fighters operated by the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit and USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier is also now en route to that area. So, with all the rhetoric, what do you think? I mean, I'm hearing two things. Well, we're going to negotiate. And Trump has been has he not been fairly quiet about what he's going to do or not do?
The only thing he said is he's not going to tell us what he's going to do. He said that over and over and over. But what's interesting is General Jack Keane, who I've listened to for the last week or so with his quandary, and his quandary or puzzle is if we are that close, and you got to remember the new atomic clock says 2 minutes to midnight, we're basically at war, you know, is what Keane is saying is if that is true, and we're about to wind up in a clash, why has not the Japanese population and the Americans been evacuated from South Korea?
Well, maybe it's all just rhetoric, and they, you know, they've already sat down with Kim, and they're just plotting out how they're gonna bring in their new world order and where they're gonna start the war and all this stuff. You just never know anymore. The only thing we have is our Bible and prophecy and good old Psalm 2, which most people say doesn't even exist. So anyway, here's an interesting thing, and you sent it. Fossilized bones of giants discovered by Michael Tellinger in South Africa. What is that about, Larry?
Oh, yeah. If you remember, Michael Tellinger is a real good friend of Klaus Dohna. And Michael Tellinger, remember the video, a couple of years ago where Michael Tellinger and Klaus Dohna were showing giant footprints in rock, you know, in Africa. Well, Tellinger now has dug and found shoulder bones and hip bones and pieces of skull and all, and they are gigantic. So there we are again, more giants, the very things that people say didn't ever exist.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they get disappeared if they are taken to the Smithsonian. They're about as crooked as they can get. And I think I probably told you the story about a fellow by the name of Gus Dave Whitehead, who literally flew, 80 witnesses watched him. What he did was he went down to the shore and watched the seagulls and how they glide and how they fly and how they maneuver. And he designed an airplane that really has kind of seagull wings on it. And he flew 5 years before the Wright brothers did. But what happened was the Wright brothers made a deal with the Smithsonian. We will give you the airplanes that we made, and you can hang them up in the Smithsonian, but you got to say we're the first ones to ever fly. And they weren't. There were people on their deathbed that said that that Gus Dave Whitehead had flown about 4 to 5 years before, and flown a number of times. And he was a genius. He developed variable pitch props. He developed ailerons and all of that sort of thing. The other airplanes, they used wires, you know, to bend the wing a little bit. So he was really a genius. And like most people that are that way, they never get any credit for anything. But on getting back to the giants, over the past week, according to this thing that you sent, we have collected over 50 fossils, ribs, lungs, toes, hearts, fingers, shoulder blade. And as insane, he says, as this may sound, all the fossils indicate various sized giants from 15 feet to 100 meters tall. That's a pretty big dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You hope he doesn't have an apron on with salt and pepper shakers.
that's quite a bit taller than Goliath was, actually, the biblical Goliath.
Oh, yeah, that would be much
taller.
Well, I think Steve Quayle, in his book on giants, I think the tallest one they've found is like 35 feet, maybe a little high. And they may have found even things bigger than that, but they're not going to tell anybody. Excuse me. Okay. The large deployment of personnel, including engineers and sappers from the Russian Navy's Baltic Fleet, detonated huge bombs during a mock beach landing for this Poland invasion. According to the report, with the American Civil War, it's here now and it's real, now threatening to engulf the entire world in flames of hatred against President Donald Trump. And, of course, what she's talking about here, and this is sort of false, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. She says here that Norwegian leaders began to question why the U.S. forces were suddenly flooding into their country, but whose true purpose for being there was shockingly revealed by U.S. Marine Commander General Robert Miller, who during the past fortnight arrived in Norway and told his forces, there's a war coming, prepare for a big-ass fight. Immediately upon U.S. Marine General Miller issuing his war warning, the report continues, President Putin likewise ordered the MOD to begin preparing for an invasion of Norway. Now, don't they have a base they've been using up north there in Norway, if I recall?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe that general read Tom Clancy's Red Storm Rising, because that is exactly the scenario that so-called fiction novel laid out years ago. That this was an American base at one time in the Cold War, but after we left, that's the base, remember, that the Russians took over and rented from people there.
Yeah.
And so that's the quandary. Russians have it, and I guess we're moving up to it. And, you know, I guess this general that says big-ass war coming, he may be accurate.
Well, it says, to prepare for an invasion. This is the Putin. Prepare for an invasion of Norway, and whose objective would be to destroy all the Marine Corps pre-positioning program, Norway storage sites located there, and whose massive arms and war-making supplies are intended to sustain a U.S. military expeditionary brigade in combat for 30 days, and whose only target is Russia. What do you think of that? I don't know. Have you heard any more about that? That kind of went quiet almost immediately.
Yeah, talking about this Tom Clancy's novel, Red Storm Rising, though, remember in that book, Russia went after the EU, in other words, Europe, and the Middle East, and he tried to go down all the way to Iceland to prevent resupplies to those regions from America. So it sounds like a solid scenario of Russia defending a Russian invasion.
Wow. Somebody, I can't remember if it was a Norway prophet or who it was, had a vision of Russia doing exactly that. They did a blitzkrieg attack, went all the way across Europe, and we kind of sat back and did nothing about it. but they said that Russia has some very strange, very formidable military equipment that comes up out of the sea. I mean, they're kind of like a submarine that can come up on land. Anyway,
they've got some new subs just out, and they're very secret. So a lot we don't know. But this old prophet Anton Johansson, you'll remember, he was told a lot, he was shown a lot, and it seems like some of that stuff beginning to be accurate.
Yeah. Turkish defense minister, grimly intoned. The operation has actually started de facto with cross-border shelling. Now, this is before the war started. Now they're in there. But when I say de facto, I don't want to be misunderstood. It has begun. All terror networks and elements in northern Syria will be eliminated. There is no other way. What do you think? And then it says, not being told to the American people. Boy, excuse me. About the nation's military presence in Syria, this report explains, is a grave violation of the United Nations and international law, as the U.S. has not been attacked by Syria, nor have its allies, nor is there any UN Security Council authorization allowing them to be there. And contrary to popular Western misunderstandings, there is no separate justification of humanitarian intervention or responsibility to protect in international law justify any nation playing its military forces in another country. So what do we do if this attack continues? Because really what they're going after is our forces, are they not?
They're wanting, Stuart, they're wanting our forces out of Syria and out of Iraq so that Iran and Turkey can move in. And this is the quandary, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion. This is a quandary. Turkey, Erdogan, Turkish forces have invaded Syria as a NATO unit. They're using some NATO equipment, the German tanks. And so what you've got is an invasion by NATO, technically, of Syria, which is coming against Iran and Assad, basically, and Russia, if Putin chooses to take a hand in it.
Well, yeah, and we could be involved in a head-on war if they start killing American troops and Erdogan doesn't stop.
If they actually attack U.S. troops who are supposed to be trying to get in the way between the Kurds and the Turkish forces, then what are we going to have, U.S. NATO forces attacking Turkish NATO forces? NATO versus NATO?
Yeah, that would be... Well, let's put it this way. Fallen humanity is insane. It's just a matter of degree. And this gets more and more insane as we get deeper and deeper. Look at what's going on in America and the deep state.
Go ahead. I was just going to say while you were coughing, the most interesting thing is that none of this information is on mainstream or even Fox or anybody. The only one I've seen carrying Turkish forces attacking in Syria is that one American news channel. That's it.
Yeah, our news is so managed, I can't believe people even bother to watch it. Okay, here's one for you. Top Marine General, prudent. Logistical planning underway for a war with North Korea. Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Robert Neller, here he is again, in discussing the prospect of all-out war. He was the one who said we're headed for a big-ass war. he says preliminary planning is underway for the possibility of war with North Korea, even as the focus remains on finding a diplomatic resolution and their refusal to give up its nuclear weapons and cease testing ballistic missiles. Well, aren't they working right now, according to satellite ops, that they are digging tunnels and getting ready for another missile launch?
Yeah. Presently, over the last week or so, we've been using satellites, observing movement at their nuclear sites and missile launch sites. So they're... Kim's working a whole lot in the background while he's actually trumpeting this unification message.
Yeah, it'll be unified under Kim for sure. I don't think he likes to share power with anybody. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because here's top general once again saying we have to prepare. We are preparing. We're getting ready. And... here's this one on the doomsday clock you mentioned. The annual assessment of how close humanity might be to destroying itself, known as the doomsday clock, was announced today, and the prognosis is worrisome, to say the least. The 2018 edition of the ominous barometer, which is maintained by the Bulletin of the American Scientists, stands at an unsettling 2 minutes to midnight. And this is the closest it's been to the unnerving zero hour in an astounding 65 years when it reads 11:58 during Cold War. So That's another sign, is it not?
Well, I would call that, Stuart, it's a sign or it's a clue, any way anyone wants to take it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. That's what the Lord told us. Solar eclipse 821 was a very good sign of the sun. And now we have three coming up on the 31st. Now, I think the State of the Union address is actually on the 30th. Not the 31st,
yeah.
That's, I think.
You're right.
But anyway,
right.
this has got three phases to it. It's a blue moon, it's a super moon, and it's an eclipse. Isn't that interesting?
It is. I had asked Augusto also about what kind of sign that could be, and he wasn't sure either. But it's very, very telling, though, that the eclipse is going to last, according to them, or space weather, and Noah, it's going to last more than an hour in Earth's shadow.
Wow. Yeah, they don't usually last very long. Okay, let me read some scripture here out of Jeremiah and relate this, folks, over to DACA and what's going on with people coming into our country. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchman. Prepare the ambushes. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it, Larry? Ambush. For the Lord has both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, aliens. If you look it up, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Isn't that exactly what's happened with our open borders? And they say
that's the rate of people crossing over.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and this also was a warning from, remember Dan Gordon and his book, To America, trying to warn America about the borders, and it went over. It was also a non-event.
I'm familiar with those non-events, like that Mars film. It really surprised me. It didn't surprise you because you called and said it was going to be a non-event because the Lord had told you it was. So, but it was fun making it, even if nobody wanted to see it. But say again.
I say it was great, and at the same time, Stuart, everyone that has watched it, and even Art Bell commented on it, that he knew all about it, and everybody thought it was great, but nobody would talk about it or promote it.
Yeah, we had a guy take this to somebody in NASA, and all the reply he got was, you're not supposed to know anything about this. Where'd you get it? So... you know, they just don't want this stuff out. Further, people just don't believe, number one, that we have a secret space program, that NASA has two sides to it, the general public side, but there's a secret military side to all of their operations. We have a space fleet, which some kid in England found out by hacking in. I mean, we've all known about the TR-3Bs and the UFO sightings and photographs are now becoming astoundingly sharp and astoundingly, I don't know what you would call these craft, and I'm not sure whether they're real or blue beam, but something is really going on now. And I've watched some of these videos that people took of an aircraft, low-flying aircraft, and suddenly it just stopped in midair, went backwards, and then vanished. That's got to be a blue beam projection. They're really getting very good at this, and that's part of that blue beam fake arrival. But I'm afraid there's going to be some real arrival mixed in with it. You know, we've often talked, you and I, about what is this trap that mankind, that the rich people set for the people of the earth, and they fall into their own trap. And I've often wondered if this isn't the arrival that turns real. You know, like all these exercises that are just exercises, and suddenly they're all real. What do you think?
Well, Stuart, the interesting thing is I've seen a couple of people talk in the last couple of days on Fox and saying that the New World Order and, you know, the groups, the powers that be were caught so off guard by Trump that he has literally in 1 year almost demolished their ability to actually create their New World Order and implement their plans that they really were very close to implementing. So what I wonder, Stuart, is if possibly Trump has come in and done that damage where they cannot solidify a new world order themselves, will that cause them to pull the alien card, which becomes real?
Yeah, and that is exactly what, I can't think of his name now. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Von Braun told Carol Rosen that this was the last card they were going to play was going to be the alien card. And I think this ties in, though, with what's going on. There's an article here from Paul Craig Roberts. And this guy is really highly qualified, was in government. He says, but they aren't. And to why this is so, the esteemed former top President Ronald Reagan administration official, Paul Craig Roberts, who aside from his many American awards, French government inducted into the Legion of Honor, explained by noting that the entire world have now placed their hopes for peace on Trump defeating the coup plot against him. But should Trump fail, would see this coup as America's final transition into a police state, and then give up their utopian ideas of ever reaching accommodations with Washington. That's kind of a deadly remark.
Yeah.
If he fails. But you and I have said that if he fails, what's coming? It's going to be really bad. Because they're going to go after anybody who voted for Trump.
Yeah, they probably already know I did. I'm just waiting for somebody to pull up to the house. But anyway, interestingly, it's very interesting that John Kerry has come out recently warning Abbas not to knuckle under to the Trump pressures because Trump isn't going to be here very long. And remember, George Soros just came out at Davos and said Trump wasn't in here for very long. And so their plans really is that he's not going to last. Now, on the other hand, you know, Stuart, I have to say that when this all began, I wasn't too sure whether Trump was going to make 1 year or not, but I was shocked that he did. So it is possible that he'll last a little longer. This is a ruler against ruler, like Jeremiah said, like we have never imagined.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, because people refuse to believe who America is in Bible prophecy. And everything is coming to pass, just like the people coming across the border. God said he was going to do that. And when the time comes, they will rise up and they'll start rioting in the cities. And, of course, they do that to bring in martial law. And that's the end of it. And if you go into the protocols, which don't exist, according to everybody, they say that when they do this, they're going to tell the American people, well, you know, we need to do this martial law, and we need to really disarm everybody. But as soon as this is over, then we're going to give everybody back their rights. And, of course, the whole thing is an absolute lie from these evil traitors that are now in Washington. And, you know, somebody said, why do people think that the two-party system, which has one head, has changed at all just because Trump was elected? And that's really kind of a good question that people ought to ask themselves. What suddenly changed?
Well, there was kind of a joke one time. It really wouldn't be a joke, but there was a joke one time that there was an old Indian man that found out that NASA was going to send some men to the moon.
and he wrote a note. He wanted to send a note to the moon to warn the moon people that when these people from America, you know, when the white men go to the moon, they better watch out because they'll take your weapons and steal your land.
Yeah, because that's about what we're good at. You know, a lot of people think America is a great nation, but actually if you go into it, the Bible, the Lord does not think so. In fact, the taking of the United States, I believe, is actually worse than any other country when it finally comes down to it. The Lord gets so angry that it's like he's stomping all over the United States. Anyway, QAnon. Now, they're kind of like WikiLeaks, as far as I know. I wanted to get into this before we close. About the Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, 16-year treasonous plan to use the White House terms for a coup d'etat in the United States that would end up revising the Constitution, actually canceling it, and introducing a new one, canceling the Second Amendment, and opening the borders to flood the nation with illegal immigrants that would be calculated to vote Democratic for the foreseeable future. And then they get into this memo that everybody's clamoring to see. But anyway, here's some more of it. QAnon predicted that Hillary would use her 8 years as a president to cause World War III, a war that would cause death and destruction on a massive, never-before-imagined scale of horror. The war would actually be a fake war. In other words, it's real, but it's, you know, all plotted out. Promoted by the government-controlled mainstream media, and of course run by the Illuminati and the globalists, billions of the world's population would be killed off, which is, of course, what Deagle.com says. And they have all kinds of interlocks with the various government agencies. They reduce the American population down to 54 million, and I think North Korea is basically down to nothing, which would indicate a major war of some type. Anyway, allowing the globalists, in other words, Hillary, Obama, Podesta, and all their people, to pocket huge wealth on a global scale. When they were completed, the U.S. middle class would have been totally destroyed. The U.S. population, what was left of it, would be reduced to the status of enslavement, starvation, death, and disease. When the Obama-Hillary 16 years in the presidency were completed, the U.S. would have no borders. Constitution would have been either replaced or revised to remove the Bill of Rights and all fundamental U.S. freedoms. And the population would be disarmed by the repeal of the Second Amendment. And, of course, that's UN. And the State Department document 7277, if people want to go online and look it up, it's about the disarmament of the United States and giving all of our arms over to the UN. Okay, future presidents would be elected by the majority of the popular vote, thereby eliminating the Electoral College, which would then give control to the large states like California, New York, New Jersey, which are all communists, that could easily overrun the illegal immigrants voting for the traitors. If illegal votes were not enough to make sure the Democratic Party traitors dominated all elections, George Soros, who is directly involved, isn't he not, in the voting machines, if I recall right? Doesn't he have his hand in the electronic voting machine?
He does. Yes, he does.
And the American people sit back, twiddling their thumbs, eating their brats, and want to watch football. All this is going on all around them, and yet it's like they're totally apathetic. I don't understand this. U.S. military bases under Obama and Hillary would be closed worldwide, beginning in Germany. Russia, China, and rogue states, including Iran, North Korea, would no longer need fear U.S. military reprisals for their evil expansion. So this is what we've been warning about for years, essentially. It's just worded differently. A communist coup,
yeah,
a takeover.
Yeah. Well, it is weird, and that's what's so shocking about Augusto's so-called timeship, the new timeline that brought in number 45, which shocked the world.
Yes. Wow. Well, when you stop and think about it, if they are so entrenched, your deep state is so entrenched, so they bring in Trump, and there was a Secret Service guy who told some woman that Trump was going to win, and she said, well, how do you know that? And he says, because he was selected back in 2013 to run for office. So even though the Lord's hand is behind it, we don't really know exactly what the Lord has in mind. I believe it has to do more with Israel than it does with America, other than judgment and revealing to the American people how corrupt everything is, so that they have no excuse. The American people don't have any excuse. They could rise up tomorrow morning, put it into all this. That's not going to happen. As you have said, and I have said many times, Babylon could have been healed, but she isn't. She would not. So we face bad times and bad judgment. By the way, what's going on in California with all those earthquakes?
Yeah, there's a considerable amount of earthquake activity going on, over in the actual Ring of Fire. The big 8.2, in the Gulf of Alaska. And it seems like it's kind of awakened the West Coast. As a matter of fact, there was a 5.8 off Ferndale, California today, and a lot of shaking up and down the coast. Really, they're shaking all the way from Alaska down to the tip of South America. There's a lot of shaking going on, and of course, Stan Dale is very concerned about the New Madrid. San Andreas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we got to watch the New Madrid, too, because of the quakes down there south of the Gulf. And wasn't there one in the Gulf, if I recall?
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not very long ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that has begun, it seems.
So, anyway, judgment. Dave Hodges, could America be restored? Now, this is interesting. Can we restore America? Yes. Short answer is no. I thought that was, that's exactly what the Bible says. No, you're not going to restore it. So, anyway, what else you got?
Well, it reminds me, Stuart, the one where the egg fell off the wall, and broke.
Yes.
Kind of an old saying.
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty, yeah, Humpty Dumpty, when you look at America today, after 8 years, well, from the Clintons, the Bushes, and Obamas, we are so broken and shattered, Stuart. There is no unity anywhere you look in this nation.
Yeah, yeah, it would take a miracle from the Lord. It would take real national repentance. And the church isn't even repentant. So, you don't hear that word anymore. It's just not, it doesn't exist. We do what we want, and the Lord loves us, and he's going to take us home soon. Just a word of warning. I don't think that's the way it works. Final word. We've got 60 seconds.
Oh, I would just tell people, don't unbuckle your seatbelt. Augusto is really worried about the rest of this month and a possible false flag.
Yeah, particularly, that would be good for North Korea. That's a perfect opportunity, excuse me, for him to make his move. I don't think anybody would expect it. Well, the military guys over here expect something. But I think the general population, and I know there has been a lot of dissension of the South Korean Olympic people. They do not like what's going on at all. But anyway, I guess it is what it is, and you're not gonna interfere with what the Lord has in mind. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. I apologize for my voice and all the coughing. Hopefully get better next week. And if the Lord is willing, we will see you next week. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on, and hope everybody has a great weekend.
Good night.